Welcome to the Basic Fit program on Radio Islam International. And joining us telephonically this morning is Mufti Zubair Bayat, the Amir of Darul Ihsan in Durban. Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Today we are starting off a new topic and a very interesting topic, as we know that we are advancing towards the month of Dhul-Hijjah, and we will be inshallah preparing for the spiritual journey that many people will be undertaking inshallah. So in light of that journey, we will be starting a new focus on Hajj. Mawlana will be starting off with the spiritual aspects on how a person should prepare himself for the spiritual journey and how he can maximize when he goes to the Holy Land and how he can use his time fruitfully inshallah. With this up, we can start off today's topic.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, indeed, we have now come into the season of Hajj. As we all know that when the moon of Shawwal is sighted, and the very first day after Ramadan, as soon as the moon of Shawwal, the moon of Eid is sighted, it is actually the beginning of the Hajj season. So from one great act of ibadah into another great act of ibadah, from one pillar of Islam to another pillar of Islam, and that is now the season of Hajj. It is called Mawsamul Hajj, and it is in this time that the Hujjaj begin to prepare themselves and proceed for Hajj Baytullah. Indeed, already, if I'm not mistaken, today I know of a batch of Hujjaj who will be departing. It may be possible that some have departed already. Maybe a few batches have already left. Allah knows best. They are indeed the very fortunate ones. They are the delegation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, representing the interest of the entire ummah, and the ummah is eagerly watching their departure. And we will be, inshallah, monitoring all their movements during the days of Hajj in particular. Here on Radio Islam, alhamdulillah, there is a live feedback from Mina, Arafat, Muzdalifah during the days of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, the Hajj broadcast, very, very, very popular. And virtually the listeners will be living the Hajj, although they will be here at home. But alhamdulillah, listening to the coverage, you know, in the Hajj broadcast, all the different places where the Hujjaj are, what's happening, the live dua from Arafat, and, you know, the lectures that have been delivered by ulama there, and the atmosphere and the feeling, all that live reporting, alhamdulillah, will be coming. We will be soon seeing those exciting days again, inshallah. But right now, the preparation is underway, and it is very important that our Hujjaj prepare themselves properly, thoroughly, before they go for the journey of a lifetime.
Mawlana, where does it all begin? I think in terms of income, Mawlana. Halal income.
Yes. No doubt. It all starts at the point of halal income. One must ensure that one's income is halal, and yet if there is some doubt in your income, it doesn't mean that you cannot go for Hajj. Let us not be under a misconception regarding that. It is not that because of tainted income that Hajj is not possible for a person. You know, this is a deception of shaitan. So if you're not sure about your income, go to the ulama, sit with them, ask them for advice, what to do, how to do, and they will explain to you what is the way forward. But yes, indeed, it has to do with having pure income, halal income, because Allah Ta'ala does not accept any ibadat that comes out of haram income. But as I said, we should not become despondent and lose hope. At least the obligation of Hajj, if we didn't get the full reward or the maximum benefit, the obligation of Hajj will at least be fulfilled, even though it may be defective because of the source of the income. But as I say, go to the ulama, sit with them, ask them their guidance on the matter, and inshallah they will explain to you what's to be done. So yes, it starts with income, And also it starts with proper intention and niyyah. Like everything, when we want to undertake something, we must formulate a good, solid, strong niyyah and intention. So Hajj is also about proper intention and niyyah.
Ji, Murana, you spoke about the importance of niyyah. What kind of intention should a believer make? What sort of intention should he have?
Yes, Mawlana, I think very, very important question. You see, we should make an intention, first of all, that I am proceeding to Hajj to fulfill a farz command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to uphold a pillar of Islam, and I'm doing it to gain the pleasure of Allah ta'ala. I'm doing it to gain the great rewards of Hajj, the great benefits of Hajj, and I'm doing it to gain entry into Jannah. These are some of the intentions that a person can make. You can even broaden your intention to say that I want to take the barakat of the Haramain Sharifain, and I want to take the du'as of the pious and meet the pious, and I want to make khidmah of my fellow Muslim brothers and sisters, and I want to go and make du'a for myself and the whole ummah. So as many good intentions as one can formulate, one should not hold back. Because the more good intentions a person makes, the more the reward is, and the more benefit there is in that intention. And yes, we should not forget that any good deed that we do, the most important of all intentions is I want to gain the love and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially in Hajj, Hajj is an act of love and sacrifice. So we make the intention that through this Hajj, we will obtain the love and muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So some of the qualities that we need to develop before even going to the Holy Land, Mawlana, what would they be?
Yes, indeed, Mawlana, you know, look, as we say, the preparation of Hajj, there's two sides of the preparation for Hajj. One is to prepare oneself physically with all the necessary things that need to be prepared. And that physical preparation is also very important because the Hadi must not encounter the situation there where now you have to, go and look for things and find things because you didn't bring it, you didn't carry it with you, and you didn't prepare yourself. Because that will disrupt your peace of mind there. It will disrupt your ibadah. A lot of your precious time will be wasted in running around looking for little things. So make your preparations physically, also take whatever you have to take with you. Although I must say that Alhamdulillah, 100% of the things that you require, you will find it there, inshallah. So if you have forgotten something, you can easily apply it. But rather take your things from here, so you don't have to waste a lot of time looking for things there. So that's the physical side, your documentation, your passport, your visa, your currency, your vaccinations, and whatever else, all the paperwork, all that, you must make sure that you have arranged all that properly before you leave. Make sure that even your ihram and your ihram belt and your ihram sandals and your ihram parda and whatever else you require, you got everything with you when you're going. That's the physical preparation. But then, of course, the most important preparation is the spiritual preparation. Now, the spiritual preparation is very important. You have to, one must actually make sincere tawbah, lot of tawbah before leaving. The days and nights before this great journey should be spent in spiritual cleansing by making a lot of istighfar and tawbah. And so when we leave from home, it's not that we're just going with a bag of clean clothing, but more important is we're going with a clean heart. We're going with a pure heart. What is the use taking a lot of clean clothes with us, but our hearts are dirty? So what is more important? Obviously, to go with a clean heart, and that comes about when we do istighfar, we do tawbah. If you don't know how to make tawbah properly, consult a pious alim and ask him that, Mawlana, I'll explain to me what is the proper method of tawbah, and make tawbah properly, make istighfar, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of sins, intend, correct and rectify the intention. Yes, whilst we spoke about the good intentions, Mawlana, I think it's very important that we must also make a conscious effort not to allow any corruption or facade to come into the niyat. For example, there must be no intention, even subtly, of going for Hajj for show, for name and fame, for ulterior gains, or material gains of this world, for shopping, for sightseeing, for touring, or any other ulterior motive. And I'm saying this particularly because there is a warning about this in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a time is going to come in my ummah when the wealthy will go for Hajj because they will regard it as a form of tourism and recreation and sightseeing, and the middle class will go for purposes of trading and buying and selling and business, and the poor people will go for the sake of begging, and the learned and pious people will go for the sake of name and fame. So Allah Ta'ala protect us from any form of corruption in our niyat. So we must make a very good, clean, solid niyat and intention, and we should try to purify our intention of all these negative things also, so that we can gain the maximum reward of the Hajj.
You are listening to the Basic Fit program on Radio Islam International, and we are currently discussing the spiritual preparations for Hajj. And thus far, we have already discussed the 1, 2, 3 aspects: halal income, niyyah, tawbah, and istighfar. And Mulana, tell us more about the clean heart. You were mentioning about keeping a clean heart. What does it mean? Should we patch up with the people that we are not speaking to? What does it mean, Mulana?
Yes, Mulana, yes. That's definitely part of it. One is, whatever evil habits we have in ourselves, we should make tawbah and try to purify our hearts from all those evils and evil habits, evil character, evil conduct, evil attributes. We should try and purify our hearts from that, remove that from our heart. And yes, purifying our hearts from any form of malice against anyone. So if, for example, we have some ill feeling towards someone, clean our heart and purify our heart. Do not go there with any ill feelings in the heart for anyone. If we cause hurt to anyone in any way, then we should seek their forgiveness. If we are not on talking terms with anyone, we must go and make amends with those people. If we have some amana, trust of somebody with us, we must return the trust of the people. If we have some debts with on our head, either we pay off the debts and proceed for Hajj, or otherwise we go and speak to the creditors and take their consent and tell them that we're going for Hajj, but inshallah we will continue with our payments. Whilst we go on for Hajj, or when we return, we will continue the installment, so that the creditors don't get a shock that, well, look at this fellow, he's owing me money and now he's going for Hajj and he hasn't even paid his debt. So don't avoid your creditors when you're going for Hajj. Go meet them and explain to them that you are going for Hajj, but you're not going to, default on the debt that you have taken from them, that you will pay the debt. These are some of the important things that have to be done before proceeding for Hajj.
The SMS line to the program is 48855. Moran, the SMS coming through, it reads that last year Mufti Sahib shared with us a dua that a person can read to go for Hajj. Could Mufti Sahib kindly share it with us again?
I think now I'm really stumped here on this one here. I can't recall that particular dua, but yes, I did mention, I recall that this bit, that when the Hadi is proceeding for Hajj, then we should make a certain dua for the Hadi that's going for Hajj. I did mention that particular dua, even the dua for the Hadi that's returning from Hajj, we should make dua for the returning Hadi. But for those who wish to go for Hajj, then make a general dua. There is no specific dua to make for a person who's intending to go for Hajj. Just make a general dua, say turakat salatul haja, and make a sincere dua. Ya Allah, grant me Hajj Baytullah. Allahumma arzukni Hajj Mabrura. Allahumma arzukni Hajj Mabrura. Oh Allah, grant me Hajj Mabrur. You make a short dua like that. It's not a masnoon dua or anything, but it's a simple dua where we're asking Allah Ta'ala to grant us Hajj, Mabrur. So I may have mentioned that in the course of the discussions last year, Maulana.
I'm sure there's some sort of confusion. They must have heard it from somebody else. So ghatrabut ho gaya, khalti mabahit, Maulana. Let's move on, Maulana. What about dua, Maulana? I noticed that many people are not in the habit of making dua. So when they go there, the dua is lacking in their life in terms of the spiritual aspect in the Hajj season. So even on the day of Arafah, maybe 2 minutes dua or 10 minutes dua, 15 minutes maximum, half an hour if somebody else is making it. But other than that, a person himself is unable to make dua. How does a person overcome that, Maulana?
Ji, indeed, Maulana, it's a weakness, it's a shortcoming. May Allah Ta'ala open on us the doors of dua, and it comes in a hadith sharif. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Man fataha lahu abwab al-dua, fataha lahu abwab al-khair, or something to that effect. That the one for whom Allah opens the doors of dua, the doors of goodness have been opened for him. So indeed, Man lam yas'alillaha yaghdab alayhi. The one who does not ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by way of dua, Allah Rabbul Izzat becomes unhappy and displeased with such a person. So we should really, yes, one of the things as part of the spiritual preparation, Maulana, is to make plenty of dua before we leave. Get into the mold and habit of making dua every night before we leave. The couple can make dua, for example, together or even individually. Just get into the practice of making a lot of dua. Get in the practice of making some tilawat of Quran. Get in the habit of some zikrullah. So that, you know, these are all towards the spiritual preparation before we leave on this journey. We can't get there and make a start now. It will be a cold start. You don't want to say, all right, look, I'm going for Hajj. Now when I get to Makkah, Medina, then I'll start making zikr and I'll start making dua and I'll start making tilawat and all of that. But right now, whilst I'm here, I got a lot of other things to attend to. So I will attend to all of those things when I get there. That shouldn't be the mentality. The preparation, the spiritual preparation must start here before we leave, and honestly speaking, this preparation must be well in advance. In fact, right now perhaps it's too late to even start the spiritual preparations in earnest, because this should have started long ago. One of the most important things that one has to do in terms of preparation is to understand what is Hajj, what are the benefits of Hajj, what are the virtues of Hajj, and whose house are we visiting. Who is the owner of that house? What are his attributes? What are his qualities? To develop love and awe for him in the heart. This is the true preparation for Hajj. What is the point a person goes for Hajj? We don't even know what are the benefits. We don't know what are the rewards. We do not even know who is the owner of that Baytullah we're going to visit. We do not recognize the owner of Baytullah. We do not know about his names and attributes. We have not developed love and awe for him in the heart. Then it is like a person went to some place of the world. Yes, I saw Makkah, I saw Medina. What did you gain out of it? Well, it was nice. It was very wonderful to be there. But beyond that, what did we gain? You know, the true benefit is achieved when a person is able to come back with a strengthened iman, greater recognition of Allah Ta'ala, greater love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, greater commitment to practice the sunnah, then we will say, Alhamdulillah, yes, this person went with proper preparation and he came back loaded and laden with all the spiritual blessings of those places. May Allah grant that to one and all.
Ameen. You are listening to the Basic Fit program on Radio Islam International. An SMS comes through. It says, could Mufti Sahib please educate us with regards to the Multazam and Maqam Ibrahim?
Okay, inshallah. although, inshallah, these are things that we could be discussing in the weeks to come, but there's no problem if we talk about it now too. See, Multazam is that part of the Baytullah which is between the door of the Kaaba and the Hajrul Aswad. It's a very narrow space, probably maybe a meter and a half or maybe 2 meters maximum. That is the size of the Multazam, and it is from between the door of the Kaaba and Hajar al-Aswad, it is a place where one must attach one's body or oneself to the wall of the Kaaba and to hold on to it, to hold tight to it. That is what's called in Arabic iltizam, means to hold tight to something. Multazam is a place of holding on tight. We hold tight to the multazam like a baby is holding on to the skirt or the garment of his mother, and, you know, crying and, you know, expressing the pain or anguish or hunger or whatever feeling. So like this, the servant of Allah Ta'ala is hanging on to the dilaf of the Kaaba at multazam and putting his chest and his body to the wall of the Kaaba and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like a real beggar and a real faqir. That is a place to shed tears. That is the place where all the Abdu alayhi salatu wa salam, they had attached themselves to the multazam and they cried and begged of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at multazam in the words of the poetry and the ash'ar of Arif Billah Hazrat Muhammad Shafi Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. He used to say that this tip kehte kul sinay ambiya mere sine ko hasil hai wo multazam. That place where all the hearts and the breast of and the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam, from Adam alayhi salam right through to Sayyidul Anbiya wal Mursaleen, Nabina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam, every one of them, their bodies touched the multazam and they held on to multazam. Oh Allah, I'm so fortunate today that I also have the opportunity to touch that very piece of the wall of the Kaaba where all these great personalities, their bodies touch. There is no point in this universe where one can physically touch a place where every Nabi of Allah's body had touched other than the multazam. So that itself goes to show what a great place the multazam is. So the multazam is a place for immediate acceptance of dua. Duas are accepted readily at multazam. So that was about multazam in the question. And Maqam-e-Ibrahim is basically the stone on which Ibrahim alayhi salam stood when he was doing the construction of Baytullah with Ismail alayhi salam. Wa idh yarfa'u Ibrahim al-qawa'ida min al-bayt wa Ismail, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim. This is that very stone. You can see the imprints of Ibrahim alayhi salam's mubarak feet in that stone. So Allah Ta'ala preserved that stone as a barakah of his khalil Ibrahim alayhi salam. And it is a place of blessings. وَاتَّقِدُوا مِن مَقَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. One should actually make it a place for salah. In other words, read your salah behind Maqab Ibrahim. And indeed, anyone who reads two rakat salah behind Maqab Ibrahim, all his sins are forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the great rewards for reading salah behind Maqab Ibrahim, for holding on to the multazam, and for reading salah in the Hatim is like reading salah in Baytullah, and anywhere around the Mataf and under the Mizab al-Rahma, every place there, Maulana, every inch of ground is Mubarak and blessed. The whole place, inna awwala bayti wudhiya lin-nas lalladhi bi Makkah mubarakan wa hudan lil-alamin. Every part is full of barakah and blessings. There isn't any part of the Haram Sharif or the Safa Marwa, all these places which are not blessed. You know, like the words of poetry of Arif Billah Rahmatullah Ali, again I will quote that where he says about the fact that, you know, oh Allah, I'm so fortunate today to walk on that piece of ground where your beloved servants walked on this very same piece of ground today. I'm being honored to walk on this very same piece of ground where he says the words, I am just missing the Urdu words, Maulana, but it is something like kaha meri kismat ye tawaf e haram is zameen par chale the nabi ke qadam. Kaha meri kismat ye tawaf e haram is zameen pe chale the nabi ke qadam. where is my good fortune, O Allah, that on this land the Nabi of Allah walked on this ground here, he made tawaf of the same Baytullah, his Mubarak feet walked on this place here, and today I am walking around on that same place, where his Mubarak feet fell, my feet are falling on the same place, Allahu Akbar, where his Mubarak chest held and onto the Mulkazam, my chest is touching that same Mulkazam, where his Mubarak lips fell on the Hajarul Aswad. Allah, today my dirty lips are falling on that same Hajarul Aswad. So subhanallah, there is no place in the world where we can feel a closer connection with the Anbiya alayhimus salam as we will feel there at Baytullah.
Now, coming back to the spiritual preparation of Hajj, what about the sabr? I mean, coming with sabr with the intention of developing this quality, I mean, it starts off with the agents and the customs and the crowds and all that. How does one develop that?
Very important point also with regards to preparation for Hajj. They say that, you know, the wise people say that one must travel light when we're going for Hajj. Don't travel with too many things. We must take what is necessary, but don't overdo it and take too much of stuff that you overweight and so on. But yes, one thing they say, you mustn't take less, you must take a lot of it, is bag loads of sabr. You must take bags and bags of sabr, and along the journey, everywhere you're going to require one bag of sabr. So don't worry, there's no overweight for this luggage. This is free, inshallah. Take 10 bags, take 100 bags of sabr with you, and every time you face with one situation like that, say to yourself, let me open my one bag of sabr. And, you know, like you try to appease yourself and you try to, you know, you try to console your nafs every time when you're going through difficulty and hardship on this journey. Let me open one bag of sabr and, you know, use this sabr now. This is the occasion to exercise that sabr. So, inshallah ta'ala, if one goes with that mindset, then no matter what difficulty you face on this journey, you will take it calmly in your stride. And you won't get, you know, upset, and you won't become angry, and you won't become depressed, and you will not become agitated. But you will be calm and composed throughout the journey, and it will go fine. You won't become agitated. You won't, you know, lose your cool, blow your fuse, as they say. But every bit of it, you'll take it in your stride, because this is a journey like that. It's not a time to, you know, exercise anger, to vent your frustration, to become irritated and so on. It is totally unbecoming for one who is going for such a great journey to behave in such a manner. So yes, one must also, part of the preparation is to pack your bags of sabr, many bags of sabr to take with you on this journey of Hajj. So yes, take that provisions of sabr. And one other thing whilst we're at it, is also to take with us the provisions of taqwa. We spoke earlier on about packing our bags and taking traveling as light as possible, but what are the real provisions that we need to take with us on this journey? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. O people, take your provisions, for indeed the best of provisions is the provision of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala didn't say travel with nothing, don't take no food, no clothing, nothing, just go empty handed. No, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in the Holy Quran, وَتَزَوَّدُوا, Surah Al-Baqarah, ayat number 197, where Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speaks about the Hajj, Al-Hajj wa Ashhuru Ma'lumat, فَمَنْ فَرَضَ فِيهِنَّ الْحَجَّ فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِّ وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرِ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهُ وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى وَاتَّقُونِ يَا أُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And we will find also ayat number 198, 199, 200. All these ayat speak about the various guidances for the hujjat, how they should behave themselves, what they should do, how they should remember Allah Ta'ala in abundance in Arafat, in Muzdalifah, in Mina, and how much of istighfar and tawbah they should make, and what dua they should make. In that very context, رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ is mentioned as a beautiful dua for the hujjat to make. So, indeed, taqwa is the best provision that the Quran is telling us. best thing to carry on this journey, we should never forget to carry with us, is the provision of taqwa.
SubhanAllah. Munara, earlier on you spoke on sabr, or just one thought came to mind, if you allow me to share it, Munara.
Of course, Munara.
Nukte ki baat hai, Munara. That once you develop this quality of sabr during the season of Hajj, then the side effect of it is when you come back home, husband and wife will become more tolerant towards each other.
Indeed, Maulana, whatever very good points you raised here, whatever good attributes and qualities we develop during the journey of Hajj will remain for a lifetime. But let us not forget the warning side of it, that whatever evil attributes, Allah forbid, have been developed during the journey of Hajj, then unfortunately those also remain with us for a lifetime. So we should be very, very careful that we do not in any way develop any of those negative traits and attributes when we are going for the journey of Hajj.
Well, there's two queries that have come through. The first one reads, Assalamu alaikum, while making tawaf, do we only read third kalima and du'as prescribed in the kitabs, or can we make du'a in English as well?
No, one may read the third kalima and the du'as, and one may make du'a in English, by all means. In fact, the most important thing is du'a must be made from the heart. And the du'a will be made from the heart when we're making it in a language that we understand. Otherwise, if we don't understand the Arabic, which is the ideal, but if we are, you know, going on this journey of Hajj and we don't understand the Arabic, and now we're just reading the du'a without the necessary understanding of the du'a, then it will just be like a reading of a du'a. But du'a is something we should ask, so yes, we can make du'a in English, but intersperse it, read a little bit of Arabic du'a, then English du'a, then Arabic, like this, mix it, so that we get the benefit of both, inshallah.
Or follow the Cape Town Kafla, Munana.
Oh, so many other Kaflas that are there, they all making du'as in so many other languages of the world, yes.
Well, the next query reads, Jazakumullah for the informative program, really benefiting much. I will be, inshallah, going for Hajj also this year. Is it permissible to make ghusl with Zamzam water?
Yes, one may make ghusl. When we're talking of ghusl not the farz ghusl, but ghusl for the sake of gaining barakah of the Zamzam water, one may pour Zamzam water on one's body. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he drank Zamzam, then he poured it over his Mubarak face and his beard and his chest and that. So for the sake of gaining the barakah of the Zamzam water, one can pour some parts of that Zamzam on one's body. But, you know, when you're talking of a bath now, they don't mean that you must take it to your bathroom and, you know, to use the Zamzam water to take a bath like that. It is not appropriate. One should just pour bits of Zamzam on different parts of the body and rub it on for the sake of the barakah and the blessing.
Alhamdulillah. 2 minutes left to the hour of 10. You are listening to the basic fiqh program with Mufti Zubair Bayyad, Hafidhahullah Ra'a. Mufti Zubair, just to recap, we discussed that we should have halal income in a starting, and then we said the niyyah should be there. And then Mufti Zubair spoke about tawbah and istighfar. Thereafter, Mulana spoke on the importance of cleaning one's heart, especially from all forms of impurities. And then Mulana spoke on dua and taqwa. And then lastly, Mulana spoke on the aspects of making. Oh, what was this now?
Also about sabr.
Sabr, yes, sir.
The
sabr.
Importance of sabr, as you pointed out, Morana. And also, you know, recognizing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing whose house. So that means the importance of ta'aleem, if we may round it off now in the conclusion. Ta'aleem of books of Hajj. Read some good books on Hajj, some good guides on Hajj, listen to some good CDs on Hajj. Fazail of Hajj by Shaykh Zakariya Rahmatullah Ali, excellent reading material. It's a bit voluminous, but take your time reading. And a simple pocket guide also to keep with you throughout your journey of Hajj, so that whenever you need to check a masla, you can quickly refer to it, the sequence and so on. And again, I will display my prejudice here again a little bit, Maulana, with your permission.
Yeah.
This little booklet of ours, which is called Hajj Mabroor, Alhamdulillah. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I collected the advices of many, many Buzurgane Deen and Akabirin throughout, you know, the years. and I've compiled it in a little booklet. It's only 48 pages, and it's a little pocket-sized booklet, very short. I purposely wrote it very concise. There are masail for females also in there, along with the males, so that the sister's part is also covered. And it's very short, put a point form, point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, depending on each chapter is in point format, so that you can follow it easily in the sequence. And it's pocket size, it's easy to carry, and it's as comprehensive as we could have possibly made it. And Hazrat Mawlana Yunus Patel Rahmatullah Ali, when he saw this booklet, he was very, very happy, alhamdulillah. And Hazrat Mawlana really expressed a lot of happiness, and he wrote a little note for the booklet, and this is what he mentioned, that although most books cover the masail and method of Hajj, the spiritual aspect of Hajj is often neglected, and may Allah Ta'ala accept this booklet that covers this vital aspect in an easy and suitable manner. This was written by Mawlana Patel Rahmatullah Ali as a little, blurb, to say, on this booklet on Hajj. So we make dua that Allah Ta'ala accept it from all of us. And yes, it is available free of charge from our offices in Darul Ihsan, Durban. And if you want, you can also download it from my website. If you go there, inshallah, you'll find it on the website as a free PDF download. So it's basically a free booklet. There's no charge at all. If you have some relatives in Durban, you want them to collect it for you, they can collect it and send it to you. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be able to mail it out to too many people. But yes, you can get somebody to pick it up, and we'll gladly give it to anyone that comes for it, inshallah.
Well, we discussed eight components already. We could have made Tilka Asharatun Kamila. We're discussing the shopping aspect, the mental preparation for that also, and also maybe the ziyarah of Madinah to Munawwara, but maybe next week, inshallah.
Inshallah,
inshallah ta'ala. Bismillah ta'ala. Inshallah, khairan for your time. Much appreciated. We speak to you next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.